Thank you so much. I appreciate that so much. As we get going here, you got an outline there. Right, while you're getting that out, one of the things that is from this position as a pastor of a church is that vulnerability. I struggle with that because you kind of want to, you know what this is like. You kind of want to hide. You know, you have a lousy week, lousy day, whatever, and you're supposed to be on your game all the time. And I think that's why the burnout is quite great among the pastorate, because you just try and plug and put that on. And so I try and wrestle with being honest with you about where I'm at and things. And a lot of what I preach is what I've studied, not necessarily where I'm at. And in regards to, I wish I could say, yeah, I got this down, this is what I do in my life, but I don't always do that. It's kind of like the stars. They're way up there. You can navigate by them, but they're not, sometimes you can't reach them. And and certainly today is one of those times. But let's see what the Lord has for us. You know, 2 weeks ago, we looked at growth in a message entitled Alive and Growing, and we saw these seven characteristics of living things from the biological sciences, and we saw the parallels to spiritual growth as we asked the question, what does it mean to be alive? And then last week, we flipped that coin over and we looked to God's Word to unpack some of the hindrances to growth. Why is growth so hard? When Hebrews 12:1 commands us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance. You know, what are some of those hindrances to growth? And we saw one of the hindrances to growth was wrong words from Ephesians 4 and 15, where we're commanded to speak the truth in love, and in that way we'll grow up into Christ. You know, and if speaking truth results in growing up into Christ, then speaking words that mask the truth, that conceal us or conceal reality, must stunt our growth. That's part of the reason why I want to be real and honest with you, because I don't want to fake it, thus stunting my own growth and necessarily hindering yours as well. Wrong words. And then there's wrong goals. Ephesians 5:8 commands us to find out what pleases the Lord. If our goal in life is anything else than pleasing God who chose and called us, then we will be at odds with God, and that's going to stunt our growth. And then there's wrong desires. Mark 4 and 16, Jesus said, he described the kind of heart such that when trouble or persecution comes because of the word of God, they quickly fall away. Avoiding trouble and persecution is way too small a goal for one who has the resources of the word of God, the spirit of God, and the people of God. Fear of trouble is going to hinder your growth. A fourth hindrance to growth was wrong pursuit. Again, in Mark chapter 4, this time verse 18, Jesus described the hindrance of a heart where the seed of the gospel is sown, but where the thorns of, quote, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, and they make it unfruitful. When we pursue things that worry us, wealth and wants, they choke out the growth that leads to reproducing Christ in this Christless world. That's where we were at last week. Now this week I want to describe just a few more sides to our shark tank aquarium. Remember that? A shark was only going to grow in proportion to the size of the boundaries of its environment. That environment, that those boundaries are hindrances to growth. There are some very old sharks that have stopped growing because they were in small aquariums. So let these four hindrances illustrate the walls of an aquarium that hinders our growth, like that. Okay? Today we're going to add two more hindrances that are going to make our rectangular aquarium into a six-sided hindrance, sort of like that, like you see here on the screen. And we're just going to do a couple more and we'll be done today. Our fifth hindrance to growth that I want to share is wrong relationships. Hebrews chapter 12 is where we're at, verse 14. The writer of Hebrews says, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that, here's the growth thing, no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. A bitter root, do you hear that? Relationally, a bitter root hinders growth. And I would ask you and me, is there a bitter root in your relationships for any reason? You know, whether you think you're hurt and your hurt and your anger are justified or not, it doesn't matter. If you harbor bitterness, you're missing the grace of God, His grace to you and to that other person through you. And Ephesians 2:8 says that by grace, that's how you're saved. So it's important stuff. If anyone has a right to be bitter, don't you think it'd be God, who had His only Son hated and tortured and lied about by those He came to save? And yet He is the source of all grace. I mean, if anybody has a right to be bitter, it'd be Jesus Christ, who was abandoned and cursed by those He loved, by those He healed, by those He prayed would be forgiven. And yet to respond to a curse with a blessing, I mean, that's the very definition of grace, isn't it? When you respond to a cursing with a blessing in return, that's grace. You can't show the fullest expression of grace except to those who deserve punishment rather than kindness. Bitterness bludgeons grace with the club of perceived justice. It causes trouble and defiles not just you, but many. We drag the whole body of Christ down in our bitterness because it quenches the Spirit of God on the inside, and it manifests itself. It always manifests itself in spite of our best efforts to conceal it. If we want to grow, we need to meditate on the grace of God toward us and then apply that grace in action to that one that, let's just, to the one you hate. Because that's really what it is, bottom line. Weed out bitterness. Let the root of the grace and forgiveness of Christ grow in its place. You know, grace, when you think about it, I think we probably have a handle on what grace is. But I remember one time, you know, I'd grown up, and I'm hearing all about forgiveness all the time I'm growing up. I'd been going to church and stuff. And one day I kind of like, what is forgiveness? And I had a hard time answering that. And so I started thinking about that, and I came to realize that grace is an indispensable part of forgiveness. I like to think of it as a mathematics equation. I know, how many of you like to think about mathematics? Okay, never mind on that. I like to think of it like a math equation, a very simple one. Let's call it the formula of forgiveness. It goes like this. Mercy, which is not giving deserved punishment. If you're merciful, you're not giving that person the punishment they deserve. If you add to mercy grace, which is giving undeserved blessing. So you're not given punishment that they deserve. Instead, you're giving undeserved blessing. Those two together, that's what equals forgiveness. You know, a lot of times we hang on the mercy part. I'm not going to respond to that. I'm not going to punch him in the nose. I'll just ignore him. That's not full forgiveness. You see? There's the whole aspect of goodwill and blessing that needs to be added in. So think of that person you struggle with. Mercy, okay, I'm not going to give them what I think they deserve. Instead, I'm going to reach out to them and bless. Then you're getting on with forgiveness. The formula of forgiveness. Now, how do I know that that's an accurate formula for forgiveness? Because the Scripture says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So you got to kind of think about what God did for you. And that's precisely what Jesus did for me and you. God withheld my punishment, placing it on Christ instead of me. That's mercy. And He added to that undeserved blessing. How far of a blessing is that? Well, don't just think of heaven when you die. Think of right now, He blessed you with the beauty of His intimate presence by the Holy Spirit. His presence. Someone who cursed Him, He blesses with, hey, I'm going to come hang out with you. I'm going to live life with you. So, wrong relationship, graceless, bitter relationships is a huge hindrance to growth that goes all the way to the heart of God's grace toward us. the wall of the aquarium. The last area that will hinder growth, well, there's probably many more, but one that I want to bring out today is, I think, has the strongest hold of all on inactive Christians, me included, and that is wrong faith. Wrong faith is a hindrance to growth. We find in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, Paul says this, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, just like you received Jesus as Lord, which is by faith, continue to live in him." That's one of my favorite words right there, continue to live. That's the word for walk. The King James Version says, "Walk ye in him," and that is peripateo, to tread all around in him in that same, just as you receive Christ, by faith. He goes on to say, "Continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." See, growth is hindered when we as Christians don't walk by faith. We're saved by faith, and then we're called to walk by faith. What's faith? It's just believing God's revelation that results in obedient and loving action in life. That's what it is, believing the Word of God, believing God's revelation to you, resulting in action that is obedient and loving. Matthew 13:58, Jesus said, or the Scripture says, Matthew said, he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. The miraculous power of Jesus Christ was limited because they didn't believe who he was. Listen, faith always precedes God's power, which is the energy required for growth. Do you believe in who Jesus is? And are you living like that? Because faith is belief that results in obedient and loving action. Well, you say, well, if God would show me himself, if he'd just show me himself, I would believe. You know what God says to that? God says, if you would believe, I'd show you myself. John 14:21, Jesus said that very thing. He says, whoever has my commands and obeys them, that's the guy who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him. And here it is. What's it say, church? Show myself to him. You want to see God work in your life? Believe and obey. Jer, believe and obey. Besides that, you know what? God has already shown himself to you and I in his Son and in his Word and in his creation every day. Do you believe what he said, or are you and I going to suppress that truth? Will you act on it? If you believe enough to act on what he has promised, you'll grow. That's faith. John 14, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. I want to tell you a little bit from my perspective what faith is like, kind of a summary thing here. You know, faith loves the Word of God, first of all. Faith loves the Word of God. Faith believes the Word of God. Faith prioritizes the Word of God in life. Faith looks to the Word of God for transformation of character and for direction of life. Faith acts in obedience on the Word of God. And faith then gives God the opportunity to show himself faithful. And guess what? We serve a faithful God. If there's no action, then there really is a reason to ask, is there any faith there? Or is it just mental activity? Because faith is time and time again presented to us in Scripture in the light of the result, the consequence of faith, that is action. Action and obedience to God in the Scriptures. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3. Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, we continually remember before our God and Father your work, what? Produced by faith. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, he writes, his power, by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every what? Act, what happens here? Prompted by your faith. In Romans 1:5, Paul's describing his ministry, and he says, my ministry is to call people from among all the Gentiles to what? To the obedience that comes from faith. Galatians 5:6, Paul writes, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And of course, James 2:26 is the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is is a dead faith. Faith acts on the Word of God. If we sit around with wrong goals, desires, and pursuits, avoiding trouble and persecution while spending lots of our time pursuing other things, then can we really wonder why God doesn't show himself to and through us? He waits patiently for us to believe his word and to act on it so he can do something. According to your faith, be it unto you, Jesus said. You know, when you were saved, you heard the message of Christ dying for your sins, and you believed it. You responded to that message by faith. And God says in Colossians 2:6, that's how I want you to live now. To hear the message of my word about life, believe it, and act upon it. Obey it. So think of someone you know that doesn't know the Lord as Savior. Do you believe that God loves to save the person you're thinking about right now? And will you and I take the risk, that step of faith, to act on that? You know, you can be the one, his messenger. You're the friend, you're the preacher, you're the ambassador of Christ, you're the minister of reconciliation, as though God were making his appeal through you. That's what the Bible says. Do you believe that? And if you do, then you'll act on that. Take the risk of rejection and reach out. Equip yourself to share your testimony. Equip yourself to share with those who need to hear. Will there be trouble and persecution because of the word? Yep. Will it cost you anything? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. But just one. Just one. Ask God for just one. God, give me one soul this year for the kingdom. Just one. Wrong faith. Are you willing to believe and act on that one command to make disciples? Make disciples. I want to fish for people. Yes, Lord, count me in. I want to be like Jesus. I want to show my love for him by obeying his commands to love God, to love my neighbor, and to make disciples. Let's make disciples instead of making excuses. Excuses for why we can't be or do this or that. Because wrong faith will hinder your growth. And that really is an understatement, isn't it? One of my favorite quotes, I think it's on the wall back there in my office, is what you believe about yourself says more about God than it does about you. Hebrews 10:38 through 11:1 says this, my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I'll not be pleased with him. Ooh. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Because faith is being sure. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain. I said certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 12:1, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Stuff like wrong words, wrong goals, wrong desires, wrong pursuits, wrong relationships, and wrong faith. And let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know why it says with perseverance? Because it's kind of hard sometimes. You got to stick to it. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So in closing here, I've been using the shark, right, as an illustration, right? I said that a shark will only grow to the size of its container. Isn't that right? If you've heard me say that, say amen. Amen, yeah. Well, according to the Chaotic Zoo website, I am a liar. I looked into that. I want to make sure. And the first line, they said, people that say this are liars. In an article entitled, it will only grow the size of its tank. This statement is a lie. That's what they said. Do not believe it. I don't care who tells it to you. Even Pastor Jerry. It didn't say that last part. I just threw that in there. But I'm quoting their website. But it is a lie. Most people who say it aren't saying it's as a lie, but are misinformed about proper husbandry and diet. Husbandry being the care for the animal. The article goes on to say that improper conditions, including limited space, can result in the organism being unhealthy and therefore stunt its growth. So this becomes not a lie, but an even better illustration for spiritual growth, really. There are certain conditions that don't just limit our growth into Christ so much as they stunt our growth, because they're spiritually unhealthy. That's what the article was saying. The thing doesn't grow because it's unhealthy. We aren't getting the proper food, the proper environmental conditions, and the proper space that we need to thrive. So which of those two words describes your faith this morning, your faith in Christ? Is it stunted or is it thriving? Let's pray. Worship team, you can come on up. Father, I thank you that I have brothers and sisters in here that I can be real with. And I pray that every person in here would be real, because that's not an easy thing to be. It just seemed, even as Adam hid in the garden, hid himself from Eve, and he hid from you behind some tree or bush somewhere. What foolishness that is. That's what he tried to do. That's what sin does to us, makes us fools. You found him. You sought him out. I pray that we would increase our depth of vulnerability of before you and before each other. I thank you for the vulnerability of Jesus Christ, who he was authentic, every word he said, even those people didn't want to hear. Thank you for his example of manhood, of fatherhood. What a tough man he was, and yet what a gentle man he was. Always thinking of other people, not himself. Came to do your will. Came to serve, not to serve himself. And so, that's the kind of man that I think every father in here, every man in here wants to be. We get in the way of that a lot, our flesh, our wrong pursuits, and all these wrong things that we got embedded kind of in us. And so we give them over to you today, knowing your patience to make us into the very image of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that. Go before us this week, Lord. Speak to us in ways that we know are you. Through your word, I pray we'd pursue you there. We'd listen to your voice, listen for your voice in a world that is loud and clamoring and shouting, that we would come aside to be with you so that we can hear what is true and real forever. Remove these hindrances to our growth, and even the ones that we didn't even talk about today, because there are many. And I thank you that you're a good father. It's who you are. Who you are. We can trust you. Even when we're confused. In Jesus' name, amen.